Hello and welcome to the Grove Church Podcast. I'm Charlie Lofton, the lead pastor there, and we are so glad that you're joining us. Whether you are a member and you're just catching up on a sermon that you missed, or you're someone who's brand new, we are really glad that you are joining us. And if you are new in some way, and I know that a lot of people will do that, will listen to sermons first before they visit, I want you to know that we would love to meet you at any point. You can join us live in our services on Sunday 9 and 10:30 or our streaming service at 10:30. Either way, we would love to be able to get to know you. And regardless of why you are here listening to this sermon today, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. What a great day to be worshiping with all of you. If you are new, I am Charlie, the lead pastor here, and just really glad to be celebrating Easter with you all. We just consider it a privilege every year at this time to be able to meet a lot of new people and to worship with you and to introduce you to who we are as a church. And so just really glad that all of you are worshiping here with us. And leading up to Easter this year, we've been doing a series where we've been kind of asking and answering, trying to answer anyway, some really big questions about, is the Bible true? Is there really a God that you can know? What do we do with all the evil that is in the world? Is Jesus really the only way to find God? Those sorts of questions. And anytime I get into a discussion with someone who is a little skeptical about some of the answers to those big picture questions or the claims of Jesus, you know, you get into this conversation very often, like, it'll just come down to, because eventually they'll acknowledge, okay, go something like this: you seem smart, which I think, oh, okay, that's a half a compliment, right? You seem smart. And so do you really believe all of that? And typically what they mean by that are some of the outlandish stories that happen in the Bible. It seems to be Jonah and the whale seems to be one that often gets, you know, put into that category, which to me, of the craziest things in the Bible, that seems like the one that at least kind of, I can at least visualize that could happen, right? But that seems to be the one. Do you really believe this dude got swallowed up by a whale or a big fish and then spit out a few days later? Do you really believe that? Or that there was a worldwide flood, or some of those plagues in the Old Testament with the frogs and the locusts, or the Red Sea getting parted for Moses and the people are walking, all of these crazy stories. Do you really believe all that? But to me, they never bring up the craziest one. How many of you guys know about the talking donkey? There's a talking donkey story, and one of these days, Mark, write this down. One of these days, we're going to do a story on some of the crazy things in the Bible, and the series title will be like, are you kidding me? Or like, what? Like, something like that, right? And it's this guy, this kind of questionable prophet guy is on this donkey going to do this thing that God told him to do, but he's kind of, his heart has changed along the way, so God sends this giant angel with a sword to kill him. And he can't see it, but the donkey can. And so the donkey keeps avoiding him, and the dude's getting mad and kind of hitting his donkey. And it says that God opened up the voice of the donkey, and the donkey says, why are you hitting me? And the craziest part of the story is what happens next. He's like, you keep turning off the road. I'm like, bro, he talked back. I mean, I can imagine a world in which a God can make a donkey talk, but there's really only one response to a talking donkey, right? Talking donkey, right? I mean, but he talks back to it, and it's just this crazy story. But I'll get into these conversations with people about the crazy things that we believe. And I was like, but you got to understand, for me, the absolute craziest thing that I believe is that there was this guy who claimed to be the Son of God, and he died. I mean, like, died. He was dead. Not Princess Bride, mostly dead. Like dead, and by all definitions, dead. And 3 days later, he comes back to life. Someone that was completely dead came back to life. If that can happen, a creation story, a talking donkey, a fish swallowing a person, weird things happening with water, weird weather events, these kinds of things. I mean, that's nothing. The craziest thing I believe is that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. And it really is. It's kind of this defining moment. It's kind of this defining belief for everything that Christians believe and have believed from the very beginning. And so it's the kind of thing that gets talked about the most, and it gets celebrated the most. And really, it's kind of one of the things that gets questioned the most. Is it like, is this really real? Did that really happen? Is there really a resurrection of the dead? Is there really a hope for a life beyond this one? It is one of, if not the biggest questions that people ask. And we're going to be looking today in a passage in 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to a group of people who lived in Corinth. That's why it's called Corinthians. And he's talking to them a lot. This is a pretty long letter that he writes to them. It's really long. So it's short if you consider it a book. It's long if you consider it a letter. And he's got a lot of issues, a lot of concerns, a lot of problems that he's dealing with. But it seems like the biggest one that they're struggling with is the one that he ends on. They're really having a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty about what really happens after you die. Is there really such a thing as the resurrection? And they're scared, they're nervous, they're uncertain, and it has got them both hopeless in this life and really uncertain about the next. And so Paul's answer to this concern, to this question, this deep pondering that they're doing about this life and the next, and what is the bridge and how does it work and what's going to happen, his answer to this was incredibly powerful and significant to them. And we'll kind of look at it, just kind of the specifics of his answer and how it would have, what it would have meant to them. But fast forward 2,000 years later, I believe that this answer that he gives to them has the ability, if we will allow it, to stir up the same level of hope and power in us that I believe that it did for the Corinthians when he sent it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. I love the way that this, his kind of his defense, his apologetic, his addressing of this question and concern that they have. He starts with this idea, for what I received, I pass on to you as first importance. Above everything else that we've talked about, among all the things that you have ever heard me say, or we have ever talked about together, I pass this on to you as the most important thing. Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, and then he rose again and appeared to a lot of different people. Lastly, he appears to me. And the thing that he is saying to them that was true when he said it then, and again, I believe 2,000 years later, is still true, that the resurrection of Jesus is the most significant event in history. The resurrection of Jesus is the most significant event that has ever happened in history. Now, we were talking about this in staff meeting this week, and I kind of bring this up, and it's kind of, hey, this is kind of going to be my first point, kind of talking about Easter. And again, I don't know what you think I'm like, what the staff's like, but there's just a lot of sass, a lot of back talk. And like, oh, well, what about Christmas? You can't even have the resurrection without Christmas. And I'm like, bro, I'm very pro-Christmas. Love me some Christmas. And I get what you're saying. Like historically, I guess, right? He can't have died on the cross if he hadn't been born, right? I get it. And then I guess in that sense, everything that happened that led up to it. I mean, like, but here's the deal. Here's what I imagine. It's like links in a chain, right? And Christmas is obviously an incredible one. And all the things that led up to that, and all the things that happened in Jesus' life, all the things that he said, all the things that he did, that led up to this moment. This moment. All of these things lead up to this moment where Jesus is resurrected. And I do believe that that is the moment in which it all turned. We spend a lot of time, obviously, talking about how significant and important Jesus' death on the cross was, and how that death is for you, and how that allows us to be forgiven of our sins. It was a sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. But you think about all these other links in the chain. There are lots of people that have been born, a lot of important people that have been born, a lot of incredible prophets, a lot of people who founded religions, a lot of people have been born. A lot of people have died as martyrs for a cause that they believed in. A lot of good people executed in one way or another because of some passion and belief that they have. Some because they were trying to undermine a system and trying to bring hope and health to something that was incredibly broken, and the powers that be killed them. There are a lot of people that have spoken truths about religion and have died in order to start something. There's lots of stories like this where really good people live really great lives and die as a martyr and start a movement. That's happened quite a few times. But never has one of them come back from the dead to prove to their followers and to the world everything that I said and everything I said about what I did and everything I did is true. And when Jesus comes back to life, the world completely changed forever. A group of overwhelmingly discouraged followers are radically changed. The Roman Empire is radically changed. The world, as it spread out all over the world, the calendar, the way that we think about what year it is, everything changed that moment that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. He did not simply die as a martyr. He did not simply die for a cause. He did not just teach something and then be executed. When he died, he made a claim that my death is going to be a sacrifice for you, and because of that, I will have conquered death. And of all the claims that you can make, you can do some good teaching, you can do some incredibly great works of service, but if you're going to claim to have conquered death, That requires some sort of demonstration, which is exactly what he did. He came back to life and proved and showed the world that he had conquered death. Now, again, a skeptic might respond to that in any number of ways, and some of you who may be skeptical about this and have really kind of put this idea of Jesus rising from the dead, it's kind of more of a spiritual idea. It's a spiritual thing, but it's not like a historical fact. It's not like something that actually happened. It just kind of happened, right? Because, you know, like anybody after the fact can claim something that happened, right? So you're like, you've got this guy, we really believe in him, we really like his teaching, this movement starts, and then what happens, this happens a lot with religions, you've got the historical things that happened, and then after the fact, the followers kind of add kind of some mythology to it, to kind of create some mysticism around it. This is what actually happened, but you know what? Really, all these other things happened too, to try to give it more weight, more power. And people will say, well, like, this is kind of what happened here. But here's the thing that I want you to understand, that I do believe, and I believe that we should all believe, that the resurrection of Jesus is the most significant event in history. But you also need to understand this. It was widely experienced and verifiable. Paul is making this claim. He's like, hey, Jesus, he died for sins, just like I've been telling you. He was buried, and he came back to life. And let me tell you what happened. He appeared to Peter. You know him. He's the kind of guy that seems to be running this whole thing. And not only him, the entire 12 disciples. Not only that, but 500 different people. And then he says this, which really doesn't mean anything to us, but it would have meant the world to them. He appeared to like 500 people, most of whom are still alive, though some of them have died. And then to his brother James, and then to all these different followers, and ultimately, lastly, to me. Because the reality of this is not a story that was invented 100 years later to add some mythology to Jesus' origin story. We've got to make his origin story cooler in some way. This is 20 years after the fact. He is making a claim that Jesus Christ came back to life at a time when that claim could be verified. Hey, you want to go? Yeah, I know somebody you know. You know Peter? You trust him. You should talk to him or any of those 12 guys. Actually, if you think, well, those guys are the leaders, of course they're going to say it. There's 500 different people that you could talk to. You could talk to right now if you wanted to that would tell you that they saw Jesus face to face. And if you want to know one more, it's me. I saw him. He came to me. Ah, come on. Of course Paul's going to say that. And he can make that claim. It's not like the Corinthians are going to be like, hey, give me their names. I'm going to go to their house, right? I mean, he's just saying this. And this is just what people say if you're trying to start some movement like this. But consider the history of it. And in the immediate days after Jesus' death, all of his followers were scared and hiding. These 12 disciples who kind of started this movement and spread it all over the world, they were in no place of mind, had no desire to start some movement or to keep this going. Their leader had been executed. And then despite how many times that Jesus said it, they didn't anticipate it. They are hiding and they're scared and they're thinking they're going to be next. What would change that? A face-to-face encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. Oh, but they might have made it up. Well, I mean, if you've got an idea of starting a new religion, right? I'm gonna start this cult, right? I don't know if you've ever had that idea. I hope not. I would dissuade you. And you got this idea. Let's just say that Jesus rose from the dead. And then it becomes such a big controversy that they say that they're going to execute you. Man, at some point you go, ha, JK, I take it back. They wouldn't die for a lie. They died because they saw him and they believed it and were telling him. Same way with Paul. Who was Paul? Paul was this guy who was spending all of his energy, all of his life. He was the biggest hater against this movement that there was at the time. Spending all of his time, really full time, imprisoning, arresting, persecuting. He was even involved in an execution of one of the early leaders of the movement. He hated all of this, and he believed, and you can tell by reading his letters, he believed he was the smartest person in every room he walked into. You were not going to persuade him, and that's not how he came to faith in Jesus. It wasn't that somebody else was able to convince him of anything. You don't convince Paul of things. That's just not his personality. There is only one reason why this particular man would not only change his mind about this, but in, again, the same way as the original 12 disciples did, he gave his life for it, literally. A face-to-face encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. And so as he's saying this to the Corinthians, like, guys, this is known. This is verifiable. If you've got questions about whether or not the resurrection is real, there's people out there that can tell you about this one guy, Jesus, who did. You can go talk to them right now. You can come talk to me. You can talk. This is verifiable. And 2,000 years later, the same thing holds. The boldness by which you can proclaim something that is easily falsifiable. That you can just claim, hey, listen, this Jesus Christ, he came back to life. Put your faith and trust in him and in that. This resurrection that we celebrate on Easter, I do believe, is the most significant event in all of history. It was widely experienced. It was verifiable. This Jesus, by his death and resurrection, proved to everyone around him that everything that he said was true, and that he had, in fact, like he promised, he conquered death. And he looks to the Corinthians and he says, I know you're afraid. I know you're uncertain. I know there are parts of this that don't make sense to you, that you're struggling with. Put your faith in the one that conquered death. And 2,000 years later, Paul's message to you would be exactly the same. Put your hope in the one who conquered death. It is one thing for us to say that this is the most important event in human history. And it's just kind of something that's out there, but it is different to say that it is the most important thing in human history, that is the most important thing that has happened to you in your history, that you can put your faith and your trust into this Jesus. This is not just something that is an interesting fact for all of us to think about and all of us to consider. This Jesus Christ, he died for us. And he conquered death with his resurrection. And I think it is of the utmost importance here for everyone here in this room to make sure that you understand this is not just some spiritual idea that we like to talk about. And when we talk about being Christians, we talk about people, we are people who follow Jesus. We are not simply talking about that we follow the teachings of some guru. Jesus was a very wise person who had a lot of really good things to say. That is true, but that's not why we follow him. Well, he did a lot of good things. He did that. He was a genuinely good person. He did miracles. He taught us about God. Yes, he did all of those things. But this Jesus is more than that. We are not sitting here at this point in our life trying to figure out, of all the people out there that have said a lot of wise things about God and who he is and what he did, which one of them is the best one? Which one of them had the most good things to say? Which one of them was the smartest? Which one of them was the kindest? And we're going to choose and pick from all of them which one we are going to put our faith and our trust in. Whose teachings are we going to follow? We are putting our faith and our hope and our trust in this Jesus Christ, who not only was the best teacher, the best person, did all the incredible things. He claimed, I am going to die and it is going to be for you as a sacrifice for you. And then I'm going to come back so that you may know that you can have eternal life. That is the Jesus that we put our hope and faith and trust in. And I hope wherever it is that you are personally, what you are struggling with, where your heart is, where your hope is, where your life is, that you can walk out of here today with your hope and trust fully in this Jesus Christ. A lot of you, some of you, people have been around here for a while, people who know us, you're aware that our family very recently has experienced a pretty significant loss. For those of you who don't, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, passed just a little bit, almost 2 weeks ago. And we've been grieving. We've been talking a lot. We've cried a lot of tears. But even as I tell you that story, and I just telling you that it happened, I use the phrase, my father-in-law passed away. And some people will critique that phrase, that really we should be more clear. Passed away is some soft euphemism that people use to describe death because they're not comfortable saying that he died. But this idea that Bob Jones passed away, it's not a soft euphemism. That is the truth. He has passed from one life to the next life. Because while we are sad, and while we miss him, we do not grieve like people who do not have any hope. We know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't die. You pass, you move, you go from this place to the next because you follow the one who showed you the way, who showed you that death is not the end, who showed you that there is hope. Not only in this life, but in the next life. And we have our hope and our trust in that. And so we grieve, but we do not grieve like people who do not have hope. And I want to encourage you, if you are grieving, Or you anticipating something where you may be grieving. You're struggling in some way. You're uncertain about what the future holds. You do not have to grieve. You do not have to be uncertain. You do not have to be someone who grieves with no hope. But in addition to that, you do not have to live like someone who has no hope. You can have hope in Jesus Christ in this life and the next one. If we will make a decision not to just simply say, this was something important that happened, but this is something that Jesus Christ did for me. And so it's Easter Sunday and we are here worshiping and we are celebrating. And in a little bit we're going to worship and sing some more. And I encourage you to worship and celebrate and make it personal, you placing your hope in the one that has conquered death. But there's lots of different ways to respond. There are people in the back that would love to pray with you if you need some extra prayer and encouragement. There's communion available back in the back. You don't have to be a member here, just someone who follows Jesus Christ. There's a cross where you can pray. There are prayer candles. And if you want to give your life and put your hope in Jesus Christ, please let us know. Because we want to come alongside you and love you and encourage you. Because today, this day, Easter Sunday, we are celebrating the most significant event in human history. And our prayer today is it would be the most significant event in your history. Let me pray. God, we are so thankful today for your son, Jesus. And God, I'm just so thankful that you didn't leave us here trying to figure it out on our own. Trying to figure out the difference between this guy's teaching and this guy's teaching and what this group says and what this group says and all these different people saying all these different things about all these different ways to find hope and life in you. But God, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, not simply to teach us, not simply to show us how to live, but to demonstrate to us that through his death and resurrection, he has conquered death. And so God, I pray that that would not be a religious idea to us. It would not be a foreign idea to us, but it would be a life-giving, hope-filled moment for us. That each one of us here would put our hope fully in your son, Jesus Christ, in this for this life and the next. And it is his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on our sermon podcast, and you can learn more about us at thegrovechurch.org. And if you go to thegrovechurch.org/connect, there's a form you could fill out. Just let us know that you've been listening. And if you want to dig deeper on some of these topics that we cover in our sermon podcast or just in other issues of dealing with culture or theology, those kinds of things, you can check out our Cultivate podcast, which is on the same feed, however you found this particular podcast. So again, this is Charlie, the lead pastor at The Grove, and thank you so much for joining us.